The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Speak powerful sexuality, powerful marriages, and powerful families. And no, I will not be talking about sex, because that is our mother's job. All right. We're talking about something different today. But I hope that, especially for those who are... only for those who are married. Not especially. Only for those who are married, who have been putting into practice the seven-act play. Why is the house quiet? Am I the only sinner in the house? Okay, I'm the only sinner. Okay. Because I can remember somebody put on her status some time ago and said, I'm in the mood. And I said, carry go. After all, Pastor K has taught us well. Okay. At some point in our lives, most of us have had thoughts about how we want to be treated by a loved one or how we wish we were treated while growing up. We're going to be talking about all of this today. You know, whether we are single, yet to be married or married, at a point in our life, everybody has had this thought, one time or the other, how you would love to be treated or how you wish you were treated while you were growing up. We have this fantasy in our head about how romance should be, or how we should be loved and taken care of, or talked to, or treated, and all of that. And I'm sure for some of us, it doesn't mean that we are running around the garden like Ramsey Noah and Genevieve. Okay, so, well, for somebody, I don't know about you, but for somebody like me, I don't think I want to be running around. I don't like doing plenty exercise. So that one is not romance for me. Okay, but this is what it is. Because we were wired to love, God created each and every one of us to receive love and to love in return, because he is a God of love. The Bible says that we are made in his image and after his likeness. So we behave like our Father. Our Father loves, and he in turn wants to be loved by us. So that's who we are, and that's our, it's in our DNA. It's our, in our DNA to want to be loved. Now, even if you do not want to get married in life, you know, there are some of us who want to remain single, probably because of the work of God, or for one reason or the other. You still crave for love from a loved one, even if you do not want to enter into all of that. As children, as little ones, a baby craves for love. That's why the baby cries. When the baby wants, even if the baby is not hungry, the baby cries because it wants to be cuddled, it wants to be patted, it wants to be taken care of. Now, same thing when we're teenagers, same thing when we were adults, and then that we are growing older, we still crave that love. Now, it's nothing to be ashamed of. Probably because in this part of the world, we have been taught to not to express our feelings. But I believe that is changing every day. Because of that, or because of the environment we grew up in, or because of the things that have happened to us, we were taught, rather informally, not to express the things that we want. But it doesn't stop the fact that each and every one of us here craves for love. Even the macho men. You know, in our society, our fathers and our brothers are not supposed to show any kind of emotions. That is what we are taught, even if it is not the truth. even people like that, even those who stand, you know, you've seen those, those bouncers, you know how they are big, they will wear dark shades, they will stand, they will wear suit, black suit, they will squeeze their face. Even in all that squeezing, they crave to be loved. You see the wrestlers, those wrestlers in WrestleMania, those mighty men with their mighty bodies, even with the way they slam each other, they beat each other up, blood everywhere. I don't understand how people will do those kind of things. Well, they say it's a kind of sport. Then they hit themselves. I can never watch wrestling. But they do all of that. And even with all that beating, all that, they still crave for love. Even the psychos, and you say they kill someone, they destroy people, most of them became that way because of a damage, because they were craving for love. So each and every one of us craves for love. Now, if we put all that our thoughts and we give it to somebody like Uncle Bode or one of our writers here, and we tell them, okay, put it into a film, we will discover that everybody will have a different story to tell, simply because we are all different. All right? God made each and every one of us to be different. God made each and every one of us to be different. So today we're going to be talking about loving in our differences. Every one of us is unique. Every one of us is different. Every one of us was created differently. So the thoughts of how we want to be loved, the fantasies we have in our head, the romantic ideas we have inside of us are all different. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:18, 19. But God has carefully designed each member and placed it in the body to function as he desires. A diversity is required, for if the body consisted of one single part, there wouldn't be a body at all. Now, if each and every one of us was the same, I don't know how the world will be. I don't know what was in the mind of the Father when he made each and every one of us different. I don't know why he did that. But the truth is, we are all different. Our backgrounds, the way we think, the way we behave, our temperaments, our redemptive gifts, our passions, our commitments, everything is different. And if you are married or you are into a relationship right now, the tendency that your spouse's difference is very, very high. Because actually, opposites attract. So most of the time, we do not get married or we are not attracted to people that are like us. We are attracted to people that are different from us in every way. So today, we want to talk about loving differently. If I am different from my husband, if I am different from my children, if I am different from my friend, if I'm different from my siblings, how do we create a healthy balance when it comes to loving? Because obviously, if I am different in my personality, different in the way I think, different in the way I behave, different in probably my upbringing and all of that, it means that somehow the way I want to be loved will be different. Now, many times we have challenges in relationships, challenges in, even when it comes to taking care of our children. For instance, someone like me who has four boys. My four boys are different. And my four boys crave love differently. One of them likes to always be close to me, wants to lie down, wants to walk, wants to hold. Unfortunately, I'm not that kind of person. I don't like all this plenty clinging. And then, one of them is very, very independent. But he likes you to do things for him. Always. And if you don't, when he wants you to do it, he wants you to do it now. He's very good at, mommy, you promised. Mommy, you promised. Mommy, you said. Mommy, you said. He's the reminder. And then there is one who just wants you to be talking. Just be talking. Just be talking. So, well, I don't think I've really known what the last one wants, because he's everything right now. Okay. But at least I'm sure what the other three want for now. Now, my husband is another different ball game. He's the man that I married. Only me can marry him. Well, even in his complexity, he craves love in a different way. Now, different from me, because I am not the type of person that likes to be... Anyway, story for another day. All right. One of the building blocks to healthy families is an understanding that we are all uniquely different. Now, if you enter into a relationship, and when I talk about relationship right now, I'm not talking about a romantic relationship alone. I'm not talking about a relationship where you have to, you understand, where you have to do the seven act play, like Pastor K. It can be a relationship between a father and his children, or siblings, or even someone in your office. Because each and every one of us was created to get into relationships. There is no one who is seated here that is a lone vessel or an island of himself. Every one of us is in some kind of relationship. Like I said before, even if you are a eunuch or you have decided you will not get married, you are still going to be into some kind of relationship, because you are still going to have to communicate with people. Now, if you want to have some kind of deep communication, if you want to have deeper understanding, if you go for counseling, or if you ask people who are into the marriage therapy, many times what causes issues in these relationships is because people complain there is no deep communication. We don't communicate. He doesn't understand me. She doesn't understand me. Many a times, what they are trying to say is, this person is not speaking my love language. Many times when you see children are separated from their parents and then decide to join a cult, or decide to do something that is rebellious, or decide to do one thing or the other, but there is a kind of estrangement from the family, it's also because they are not feeling. Now, they know deep down somewhere that my family loves me. They know deep down somewhere my brother loves me, my sister loves me. I don't know if you've heard that before. Now, there are some of us who are not very, very close to our loved ones, so to speak. Not because we don't love them, but somehow growing up, we missed it. We missed what they needed. We missed what they needed to hear. We missed what they needed to do. Or probably our parents missed. So sometimes when they are just talking, we are off. And somewhere in our mind will say, "Oh, talk quick." And they go, "My mama don't." But because you are nice and gentle, you sit down and you endure the talk from especially your mother. If you have a mother like mine who likes to talk, it's better for my mom to take a cane and flog you. But when she tells you, "And will you sit down?" Yeah. You know that trouble has come. So you will sit down, and she will start from Genesis. Then she will now enter Revelation and go back to Hosea. So you will enjoy it. And deep down in my mind, you'll be saying, telling yourself, "Oh, quick now, quick now." And the truth is that at the end of all that talk, you probably didn't hear one thing that they said. Not because you don't love them or you don't respect them, but the person probably is not speaking the language that you understand. Now, I'm sure many of us have heard the five love languages. But the truth of it is that how many of us really understand what the next person needs? What your spouse needs, what your children need, what your colleague in the office needs, what your boss in the office needs. Do we understand all of that? Okay? As a result of our differences, we tend to interpret and receive love differently. God speaks all love languages fluently. Now, somebody asked me one time, this love language that we talk about, is there any scriptural backing to it? Is there anything? Is it actually something that is true? But the truth of it is that God is someone, and in the Bible, in scriptures, you will see that God related to everyone he was intimate with differently. If you read the scriptures, he was intimate with all his disciples differently. They were the ones that he spent time with. They were the ones that he allowed to come close to him, to put their head on his chest, and all of that. There were people God gave special gifts to. There were people. Now, all of this is in scripture. And then, for all of us, God has shown us the ultimate when it comes to giving love languages. When it comes to acts of service, God gave us the ultimate by giving Jesus, allowing Jesus to get on the cross and to die for each and every one of us. When it came to quality time, for everyone who wants to spend time with God, God is waiting patiently to spend time with you. Now, for those of us who want to hear something, he's one that is very, very good when it comes to words of affirmation. So all of this is it. God speaks the five love languages. And he also knows that each one of us is different. So he is ready to speak our language. He is ready to love us differently. That's why each and every one of us is unique. Now, if we desire to have healthy families and marriages, we have to take the responsibility of expressing love in the language our loved ones understand. Now, I use that word there, responsibility, because it's a duty. A healthy family is not by default. It doesn't just happen. If you want something that is solid, it's like a garden. You put in your mind, you tell yourself that, okay, this is the kind of garden I want. These are the kind of flowers that I want to grow in this garden. This is how beautiful I want my garden to look. This is how wonderful I want the fragrance to be everywhere and all of that. Now, even if you take time and plant the seed, you don't just go back to your house and fold your legs and then expect that garden becomes the picture that you have in your head. You have to work at it. If you want to see a healthy family, one of the things you have to work at, no matter how difficult it may seem, is begin to understand. If you have a wife, you have children, you have a husband, you have siblings, as long as you want to see a garden that is flourishing, you need to begin to get your hands dirty, put your feet down. You need to spend time. You need to do everything that you need. Now, Papa has talked about the place of the family, the place of the fathers. He has talked about how healthy we need to be. He has talked about identity. Mama has talked about the 7-act play. She has talked about what we need to do and how we need to do what we need to do so that we have healthy sexualities. Now, all these sum it up. It's putting blocks upon each other so that you can get something that you are proud of tomorrow. So that you can get something. Now, many people don't want to go home at the end of the day because probably they say they have a nagging wife, or they have a family where the mother and the father keep talking and there's no peace in the house and all of that. Now, one of the ways is for you, whether a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, a sister, a brother, to begin to understand and begin to work at it. What is this person's primary love language? Now, many of us tend to give love the way we want to receive love. If I have a love language, probably of words of affirmation, and I am good at it, I may want to give everybody that. And so, I have a husband, or I have a wife, and I have children. I'm good at it. Telling them how beautiful they look, how their dress is wonderful, how they did well in school today. But if that is not the person's love language, you will end up missing the mark. And then you will end up having a spouse or a sibling or a child who complains that my husband or my mother or this person does not love me. And then you are asking yourself in your heart, what does she mean or what does he mean, but I don't love her? I do all that needs to be done. Or if you're a typical African man, forgive me. If you're a typical African man, you provide. You do everything. I bought her a car. She has a good house. She doesn't lack money. She has clothes. She has everything. So what does she mean by I don't love her? Now, if you are somebody, if you have a wife that is like me, if you buy all of those things, not that it's not good, though, it's good. Because it's good to look good. Just as I'm looking this morning, I know I'm looking good. Okay. Now, it's if you give me those kind of things, oh well. Because I'm the kind of person, I might be going home now, and one of these earrings will just fall. And that is it. Or you see me passing. These shoes may cost a lot of money, and I wear it like slippers. Or I will drop it in the office and use my leg and come out. That's just me. These are not the things that... So if my husband is the kind of person who says, I will buy this, I have bought this, I have done this, you are not speaking my love language. And to me, you are just doing one of your duties. And I will say in my heart, is it not your responsibility before? So that is where issues come. Okay, now, we need to begin to understand and express these things. Philippians 2:3-4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but if each of you to the interest of others. Now, if we want to begin to practice the kingdom kind of family, we need to understand that at every point in time, what we give is sacrifice. You do not love the person at your own convenience. You don't love your wife. You don't love your husband. You don't love your children at your own convenience. You love them despite who they are. And so you take out time. That's what the Bible has told us. He said, it's not out of selfish ambition. It's not because there is something I want in return. I'm not loving you because there's something I want in return. I'm not learning your love language because of all these things. But rather in humility, value others above yourself. Now, if you say you value others above yourself, you need to become intentional. Everything you do, there's a song that the choir sings, is intentional. God works all things together for our good. Not for his own. Ultimately, he gets the glory, which is also same with us. If you are in a family and your family is doing well, if you are putting up all the sacrifices and doing all you need to do, ultimately, the joy is yours, the peace is yours. Ultimately, the sacrifice pays off. But at the beginning of it, you have to do something. I'm trying to put this foundation so that we understand that knowing the love languages is not enough. Counting them at the tip of your head and knowing what your spouse wants as a love language is not enough. But going to the point of now wanting, knowing what this person actually wants. Now, I might be someone who loves gifts. But for somebody who loves gifts, it's not enough to just buy a gift. You need to be specific. It's not about the material things. It's actually about those little things. Like I said, I am not somebody you buy gold for. Not that you should not buy gold for me. But it's not something that sparks me. But if you now buy a specific type of ram suya, oh God, now you are talking. It can now open a door for you. You understand? Some kind of door. Not that kind of door that Pastor K was talking about, if you are my husband. Yes, suya. Don't buy me flour. Don't buy me. But what I'm just trying to say is that there is something specific. So you need to take time out in all of that. Now, the five love languages. I'm just going to run through them because I know that we know them already. We have the love language of words of affirmation. These are people who like to hear you say something good about them. They are the people who like you to encourage them with your words. So for people like that, because each love language has a flip side. It has a side that you can go extreme. Now, for those kind of people, words hurt them. So you need to be careful what you say to them. And then also, there's also an extreme side, because these people can be damaged also because of the way that they were brought up. But we're not going to talk about all that. Then we have quality time. These are people that need you. They're not asking you to spend the entire time with them, but they are telling you that the 5 minutes you spend with them, you must focus on them. Not talking with them and you are pressing your phone in these days of media. You know, like I said, one of my sons told me one time, Mommy, you're always pressing your phone. And I told you, why is it that it's only when I'm pressing my phone you want to talk to me? I was actually trying to be defensive. Okay? So I had to learn. Now, they want quality time. Even if it's 2 minutes, they want you to spend that time with them. Then there are people who like gifts. I've told you, specific gifts. Not any kind of gift. You need to know those little things that they like. And then we have the love language of acts of service. These are people, when you promise to do something, do it. They don't like promise and fail. No, somebody actually told me one time that promises are meant to be broken. No. For those kind of people, what you are telling them is that you do not love me. So they want you to do something for them. And they want you to do it not at your own convenience, but at the time that you have said you will, which is also convenient for them. So these are the love languages, but we want to create a balance. In communicating the language of love to create a healthy atmosphere, our motives and intentions must be sincere. Now, this is what I want us to look at. In everything, there must be a balance. Do not use the love language because you know it. What is the motive of your heart? Why are you doing this? Are you doing it because you want to get something in return? Now, Romans 12:9 says, let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another, and never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Despise evil and embrace everything that is good and virtuous. All right. The love language is not a tool for manipulation. It's not a selfish weapon. It shouldn't be used because of a selfish desire to get something back in return. Okay. They say love language, Abi. Not today. It's easy now. I know I love. Don't be words of affirmation. Okay. So you now use it on that person because there's something you want to get in return. That is not building healthy relationships. When you do something for someone, you need to ask yourself, why am I doing this? You know, reading the entire New Testament, there is something that is always on the line. That is, what is the intention of your heart? That is it. What is your motive? Why are you doing what you are doing? Why are you showing this love language to this person, to that person, to your husband, to your wife? Is it to get some kind of cash? You know, there are some men, when you rub their head and you tell them, oh, you're looking so honey, that thing that you just did. They're at the end of the day, you say, hey, you know, I just wanted to remind you that 50,000 that you said. Then the man will say, oh, no, don't worry, I'll give it to you. So at the back of your mind, what you actually wanted is that 50,000. Not that you really wanted to show that person love. So you must create a balance. Whatever you do, you must do it because that is what God has asked you to do. Not because there is anything you want to get in return. Because when God loved us and he died for us, he didn't die for us because he wanted something in return. But he first died for us. Knowing that there are some people who still will not give their lives to him. Knowing that there are some people who will still look at him and say, God does not exist. But still, he died for us. Now, that is the kind of sacrifices that we should give if we want a healthy family. If you are going to want a woman who is there for you completely and totally, there must be some kind of sacrifice. We are not asking our wives to be submissive to us because we want to dominate them. We are asking them to be submissive, or we want them to be submissive, because that is actually what the Bible says. That is the instruction that God has given to us. Now, we are not submitting to our husbands because we want something in return. We are submitting because that is what God says. So also the men. You are loving because that is what God wants. Okay? If you are not receiving love accordingly, it's not a reason to stop giving or quit entirely. Now, this is another extreme. Okay, so they've taught us, they said it in church today, that we should love accordingly. Okay, so from today, I'm going to be loving accordingly. And then I now do it for 3 months. And I realize that the more I do it, the more my husband is not doing it in return. Abba, who can be fool for his head? I beg. I cannot anymore. So you stop. No, that's not what it is for. Now, I want us to read something that I read recently. And it actually touched me. Not because I've not read it before, but it's like a veil opened. 1 Peter 3:1 and then 7. And now let me speak to the wives. Be devoted to your own husband, so that even if some of them do not obey the word of God, your kind conduct may win them over without you saying a thing. And then when you go to 7, it says, husbands, you in turn must treat your wife with tenderness, viewing them as feminine partners who deserve to be honored, for they are co-heirs with you of the divine grace of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now, in all of this, God wasn't talking about the opposite person. He wasn't talking about the other person in the relationship. He was talking about you. So when it comes to the love languages, it's actually about you. What you are doing for the other person, not what the person is doing for you. When we are talking about the context of healthy families. Because if we keep doing good, what does the Bible say? At one point, we will gain what we need at the end of the day. But if we do not see it, let's not say, I will stop. Let's continue doing this. The bottom line is that sacrifice is the only thing that will get us a healthy family. Like I said before, you cannot have a healthy family by default. It doesn't work that way. Families, no, you say you give birth to a child, and then you put the child in the streets and just expect the child to grow up and then just become a wonderful man and all of that. No. Things have to be put into it. For egusi soup to be sweet, things have to be put into it. You cannot just buy egusi from the market. No salt, no pepper, no fish, no condiments. And then you just grind it and put it in water. And then you say, this egusi soup today is going to be gain. It's not possible. If you bring that out, nobody will be able to eat it. But then you have to add all the things to make it sweet, even if it is only pepper and salt. But then you have to add, it still boils down to the fact that you have to add something. And then if you ask people like Ebere, you don't add it anytime. You don't just make egusi and just put everything. Pepper, salt, fish, oh, egusi, just put all. You just, at the same time, put everything, oil, all. You just say, the egusi, we done. It will be sweet like that. You need to put it at the right time. Abi, is it not so? Ebere, you know, that's the power woman. You need to put it at the appropriate time. It's same thing with a family. When you put all the blocks together, you need to put it at the right time. You need to put it at the timing that it is. That's why God has given each of us a blueprint. You cannot cook your egusi soup the same way. You know, every one of us is giving the same ingredients. But many times, our soup does not taste the same way. But still, they have its unique, wonderful, and sweet taste. True or false? I may not cook egusi soup the way my mother cooked it, even if they gave us the same ingredients. But the truth is that our soups are both wonderful. Now, we have been given everything to make our families better. Stop spying into another person's pot. What you should do is to ask the one who gave you the ingredients, how do I put it? When do I put it? How do I make it come out wonderful? Each and every one of us has a blueprint. You know, yesterday we were discussing something on our page. Somebody posted something and said, I don't know if you've heard this story of a man who went to meet his wife in the office and wanted to sleep with the wife. Unfortunately, the wife was not in the mood of seven hearts play. So she screamed for help. And people now came to the office and saw the man naked. So the wife is now asking us, what should we do? Well, whether that story is true or it is fabricated or it is what, you needed to see, hear a post. Ha, stupid woman, she should wait for long. Ah, the man is a ritualist. He wanted to come and use her for ritual. Ah, different stories. But the bottom line is, every family with its own. You need to understand your spouse. You need to understand what makes them tick. What makes them happy? What makes my wife happy? What makes my children happy? What will I do to keep out the tension in the home? Now, I am not that woman's husband. Woman's husband, husband's woman. Okay. I am not her. Or she is not him. Whichever, we know that there is a something. You need, that woman has to go and work out her salvation with fear and trembling. She cannot take my advice. Because as I am advising her, I will be using my husband to advise her. If I am advising somebody else about your children, the first thing that will be in your mind if you have children is your children at their face. With all of the advice, it's good though, take it. But go back to the father who gave you the blueprint and ask, what should I do? That is how we need to build up a healthy family. So it's not enough to know the five love languages. It's not enough to know them. It's enough to say, Father, now I know that my husband's love language is physical touch. And you know me. I'm not the kind of person that likes all this holding and holding. Okay, what do I now do? Even if I grew up in a background that is very Christian, they don't talk about all this holding. Don't hold hands. You know, when you want to, as you are getting married, somebody's in the middle there. So when you want to talk, that's no sir. And then when we now marry, the man wants to be holding me and hugging me and kissing me in public. Stop that. That is sin. How do I now? I need to now go back to the father and now ask him. See, oh, daddy, this man is the one that is to let to touch everything because did he pay or did not pay? So if he now wants to be touching your bum bum like when you are walking on the street, he will just hold you like this. Ah. Sorry. You need to now go back and ask the father. It is either you walk on me or walk on him. But any which way, there is a walking. So we need to, but the Bible says that, I think there's a last scripture and we need to talk about it. There is a scripture that says that we should love without conceit. That's Romans, I think. Let me search it out. So before they go home now, you say, ha, the scripture that Pastor Willie gave us today. Very, very not correct. She said her own. Okay. Romans 12 verse 9 says, your love must be sincere. Now, if you take that from, I love the TPT, that's the Passion Translation. If you look at it from there, it's wonderful, it's beautiful. Your love must be sincere. Now, if you take the root word of sincerity, what does it mean? It's not about you when it comes to love. You know, that's why they say marriage is not for boys or for girls. Marriage, or even relationships. Let's not even talk about marriage. Let's talk about relationships. Let's talk about you working somewhere else. Why do you want to work in an office where there are people when you don't want to do relationship? Kukuma, go and be working as a scientist. Most scientists, they work alone, only them and their lab. So that only you and your instruments. But as long as you are going to be with people, as long as you are working with people, as long as you are going to a restaurant to eat, as long as you are going to be doing life with people, you need to learn how to be sincere and love people. Because we want to be treated well. So we need to begin to treat others well. Please let's stand up. God bless us. I want us to close our eyes. I want you to hold somebody beside you and just begin to pray for that person. That God will fill their hearts with love. That God will give them the wisdom to know how to love. Just pray for them. That God will give them wisdom. You know, loving is not an easy job. It takes responsibility. It takes hard work. Sometimes you just, even when you have children, sometimes you just want to run away. You just want to be on your own. I want you to ask for strength and for grace. For every family that is going through a kind of crisis because you feel that your spouse doesn't love you anymore. For those who think that the passion has been eliminated from their marriage. For those ones who are in a relationship right now and they are confused and need to make a choice. Lord, we ask for your wisdom. We ask for healing rain this morning. We ask for healing rain.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.